Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Hi, this is Deacon Rich Napoli. I'm your host today on the show Deacon Dialogues. I'm joined by my lovely wife, Janet.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here to talk about a few interesting things this past month that we did. Obviously, we're all kind of recuperating a bit now from the World Meeting of Families and the papal visit with Pope Francis coming to spend the wonderful time with us in Philadelphia. So I want to spend a few minutes, and I will share our thoughts about that week and what it meant to us. And then we'll introduce our guest who's sort of related to that whole topic.
I know that we both have two different experiences, Rich, because you were blessed to be able to actually go into Philadelphia and spend the week there. And on the flip side, I wasn't able to go, but I was glued to the TV set.
Right. So we have sort of complimentary experiences there. But we'll share a few of those with you and then and talk about our special guest here today. So I think for me, the term I used a lot when people just want like the quick answer, like how was it? I said it was kind of like being at Catholic Disneyland. Because the week was just so filled with sort of the Catholic version of that excitement that you feel as a family when you go to Disney World, and everybody's happy and joyful, and the kids are having fun, and there's just an energy and buzz at Disney World. Well, that's what it was like, for the whole week. First with the World Meeting of Families, and for those listeners who may not have been there, it was a Catholic conference focused on family issues. So incredible speakers, on all different topics of family, not just the theology of the family, but some of the real issues we face with families, divorce and adultery and pornography and same-sex attraction, all those kind of challenges to the married state. Good speakers on all those. We have beautiful masses every day, filled with 17,000 people.
I have to say, when you had the opening mass on Saturday with all the clergy, I never saw so many smartphones, iPhones taking videos and pictures. All the priests holding them up. Even the priests knew how beautiful this moment was, and everyone wanted to capture our beloved Pope entering. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, it was a special, special time. And even in the Saturday Mass with just the clergy, all the clergy was taking pictures of with their iPhones. So definitely a new generation of technology there. But great energy level at the conference. Lots of excited speakers of all different faiths. We had some Protestant ministers speak. We had I listened to a Muslim woman speak on family. She got a standing ovation at the end.
Beautiful.
She did a wonderful job. Anyway, so a lot of excitement there. The streets were closed. Philly was sort of in lockdown. So that's what led to the sort of Catholic Disneyland atmosphere. Just nuns of every stripe, all the different colors of the rainbow, these nuns from all around the world, and just, the excitement that they have, and they're just happy and giddy to be there, and, people from all different parts of the world were there, walking around the street, sharing their stories, Catholic, I guess I call them Catholic tchotchkes were being sold, and, I had some Pope ice cream and this and that. it was just a very high-energy week, and the policemen were like, we don't know what to do with this crowd because nobody's drinking, nobody's getting in fights, nobody's getting arrested.
Peaceful and loving,
very
prayerful.
Peaceful and loving, but upbeat energy. So, the conference was wonderful. I had the privilege of being a deacon in our archdiocese, being able to attend the private mass that the Pope said on Saturday morning at our cathedral.
Right.
So it was just a beautiful moment for me.
That was on television. Impressive.
For me, I don't get down to the cathedral that often, and for me, obviously, being ordained in that cathedral, that cathedral has special memories for me, and seeing the Pope walk down that aisle, just made that place even more special for me, and he did a wonderful job. He was a little tired that morning, but, had a lot of great things to say.
Well, I know at the end of the Mass, when the Pope was exiting, there were a number of children in wheelchairs with disabilities. And we were able to see him go over to them and embrace them and touch them and bless them. It was very touching and moving.
Yeah. It was, and then, of course, he went around town and saw, he went to Independence Hall and things. I didn't get to see some of that because there is a lot of lead time. One of the things I've learned in that week was the amount of preparation that goes into a papal visit and how scripted the whole sequence was. And we're just little sort of minor actors in this large play here, and so you know, the amount of lead time, like, you know, the mass of this, at the cathedral was at, what, 10 o'clock or something. We were, like, in our seats at 8:30 in the morning. We had to be there by, like, 6:30. In our seats by 8:30. He hadn't even left New York yet, and we were in our seats in the cathedral. So, you know, because it has to be all scripted, because the Secret Service has to lock it all down, make sure everybody's there who has to be there, no one else can come in. So anyway, so I didn't get to see some of his things during the day on Saturday. But Saturday night, we got to go to the Festival of Families, which is this wonderful Catholic concert, I guess you'd call it, you know, and the deacons were blessed. We had these wonderful tickets right on the side of the stage. So all the stars had to walk past us, you know, Aretha Franklin, Andrea Bocelli, The Fray, all, you know, Jim Gaffigan, Mark Wahlberg, all had to walk right past us. We could just about reach out and shake their hands. So very exciting moment and beautiful performances by all of them. For me, it was kind of nice as, you know, a treat is they had this wonderful concert, and then the Pope left, and everyone else left except we looked, and the orchestra was still sitting down. We're like, what's going on? And then they went on and did another almost an hour of performances. Andrea Bocelli came back, Aretha Franklin came back. They had a big fireworks display outside. It was just beautiful.
Well, the highlight for me during the Festival of Families on that evening was when the Pope went off speech. And he really seemed to come alive. And I just love the quote when he said, "Families quarrel, and sometimes plates can fly, and children bring headaches. And I won't speak about mothers-in-laws, but those difficulties are overcome with love." And it was just so wonderful and warm and welcoming.
He was so alive and passionate and joyful and funny. Yeah. You really felt like this was a guy that, you know, you could relate to. I don't know how to say it, but he's very human in his joy and his teaching. He didn't, you know, he was proclaiming the gospel of Christ, but in a very joyful way. And then Sunday, again, the Mount of Preparation, the Mass was at 4. Deacons and priests had to be there at the museum by like 10:30 in the morning, which was great. I mean, we had a beautiful time there. They served us wonderful meals. We got a free tour of the museum, and we could watch the Pope on the TV. It was very well done. I had the privilege of one of 20 deacons being asked to serve sort of at the side of the altars because they have this logistical challenge of you know, 3,000 or 4,000 clergy there who are celebrating. Well, normally if you've been to a Mass where they can celebrate, you know, a few priests standing around, they all come up and they must consume both species, both precious blood and the Eucharist. And, you know, they usually just come up to the altar and take a sip, right? Well, how do you do that for 4,000 people? They can't all come to the altar. So what we did is there was 28 deacons. We had to stand at the side of the altar holding a chalice and a ciborium filled with wine and host while the Pope was consecrating. And we were standing right there holding it because that was a memorable moment just to be – I said, wow, I'm never going to do this again, probably, you know, holding this during the act of consecration. It was beautiful, very, very moving experience. But then we turn around, and then we'd have to allow the bishops and priests and deacons and cardinals to self-communicate. So they would take the host, they would do intinction into the chalice, and then move down the line. And we had a process, you know, thousands of them, while the rest of the congregation is getting mass. I think we gave about 250,000
consecrated
hosts in 20 minutes. It was a very impressive display of logistics.
For me, the highlight on Sunday was when Pope Francis went to the correctional facility before heading over. I have to say, I was in tears. There was such a beauty of his warmth in reaching out to these men. And when the first man stood, the first prisoner stood to want to embrace the Pope, it was almost like a child embracing his father. Mm. And it was done with such humility and love and mercy. It was a highlight for everyone who saw that.
Yeah.
It was a great example of what our faith should be. And that is reaching out to every single person. Every person has value, importance, and worth. And I think the Pope really exhibited that in everyone that he reached out to.
Yeah, yeah. He you could feel, you know, his I don't know how to say it. I'm struggling for words, but, you know, feel his warmth.
He was truly Christ-like.
Yeah,
truly.
And everything he did, every interaction he had with anyone was Christ-like. Yeah, just with the warmth of Christ and with the joy, just with the joy that was so genuine.
And also when he was in the Pope Mobile and he was traveling, the Secret Service would gather the babies along the
Domenico.
Route. Along the route. And they would bring them to the Pope and he would bless them,
right.
Kiss them. There was even one baby in a little Pope outfit,
yeah,
which he got a huge chuckle out of.
Yeah.
So, and this was constant. It was constant. I can imagine for a mother that would be the only time I would allow my child to be handed off to strangers.
Well, did you see that? They passed the baby up like 10 rows.
Yes. I would absolutely say, bring him to the Pope.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. So, all in all, just a wonderful week. The security was outstanding. There was a little, you know, some snafus there where they had more booths open on one side of Franklin, the Parkway than on the other side. But all in all, an outstanding event and just an honor for me to be
memorable,
part of it.
Memorable.
But there was, of all those experiences, there is one memory that is the reason for this today's show, and it's probably the most special moment of the whole week for me. And so I wanted to get you all to share in that and hear from the person involved. So we have as our guest Marie Joseph, who's the executive director for the Legacy of Life Foundation, which is a pro-life nonprofit organization supporting crisis pregnancy centers in Bucks County and in downtown Philadelphia, right across from the Planned Parenthood facilities. Marie and her staff work there, and we're going to talk about the work that they do to when women are faced with unplanned pregnancies. It's just a beautiful ministry and a very moving experience. Marie is a graduate of Cornell University with her bachelor's in marketing and her master's in theology from St. Charles Seminary, which is where I went, and she's also a professor there as well. She's appeared as a guest on EWTN, The Journey Home, with Marcus Gerdai. She's written there's a website, firedupcatholics.com. And Marie is also a single mother of two children herself, and she knows the challenges of being a single mother. And that, I think, brings some extra conviction as she ministers to these young women who are facing real challenges. So, Marie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Rich and
Janet. So good to have you.
It's such an honor to be here. God bless you. Thank you.
It's an honor is ours. So the work you do and we'll get to what I experienced there, but let us first just start with, so people that may not be familiar with the foundation, you know, tell us about the Legacy of Life Foundation, how it got started, where it's located, what it does, things like that.
Legacy of Life Foundation is really the driving force behind these two women's centers that are situated across the street from Planned Parenthood headquarters in Bucks County and in Philadelphia. And the mission really is to meet the most and have that opportunity to speak to the most abortion-minded woman, abortion-determined, really the woman who believes and the family that believes that there is no choice other than abortion when faced with this unplanned pregnancy, and for so many reasons. And so the foundation was started to really be able to, as the centers grew, to really be able to reach out to the community of good pro-lifers who really want to do something that's directly connected to stopping abortion one person at a time.
Right.
And that's really what we do.
Right. Yeah, I think that's it's something that's significant, that's something that's that kind of a crisis. It takes that one-on-one intervention to turn people around. You can be talking all you want, unfortunately, from the radio, from the pulpit, even as I do, you know, and it's all good and it's all helpful, but there's nothing like taking a person by the hand and sitting them down and guiding them through that process, and that's really what you do. How did it get started, and how long has it been around? Give us some basic bios.
Right. So in March of 2008, a gentleman named Bob Milner owned some property in Bristol, and he had been – they were rental properties. Families were living there and low-income housing, and he decided when one of them became available across the street from Planned Parenthood that he was a passionate pro-life man, a faithful Christian, and he really just wanted to do something, and he prayed, and then he got the idea that he would love to give this to a crisis pregnancy center. and provide an alternative right there at that place. Mm. And he wasn't able to find anybody who already had a center to open another one. And so he was able to go to the pro-life union, and a bunch of faithful Catholics showed up 24 hours later and said, we don't really know what we're doing, but you have to have a medical director, and you have to have a board of directors, volunteers who are willing to be board of directors. Mm-hmm. You need to have a president and officers. And so within 24 hours, we had Dr. Les Rupersberger, our famous pro-life doctor, who said yes. And it all starts with yes. It says yes. Mm-hmm. So he said yes, and the board said yes, and we got started. They recruited a beautiful woman named Jessica Chaminski, who was right out of Temple with a counseling degree, and they got started. And in a very short time, they started realizing that God was really giving them a unique approach, which was that they had this beautiful opportunity because of the way they were operating to speak to the most abortion-determined woman would feel comfortable in this situation, really being able to be ministered to.
How do they come to you?
So
how do they find you? Like, what would make somebody who's really bent on having an abortion all of a sudden walk into your place?
So there's a few ways, and that's a great question. Mm-hmm. So a few ways. One is that there's a big sign that says free pregnancy testing. And pregnancy testing, believe it or not, is an issue for many underprivileged people because they do charge $40 to $60 at Planned Parenthood and some of the abortion clinics, and also because they are really looking for a reliable source that will give them accurate information. And so the free pregnancy testing sign is very attractive. Also, being located where Bucks County will go, first stop for abortions in Bucks County would be that Planned Parenthood right there. So they're already there. Also, our centers are located in places where a lot of these women gather. In addition, we do advertise. We do advertise. We have a few donors who have said that in their heart they feel like called to have their money go towards bringing a woman in who's seeking an abortion. Mm. And so we advertise for women in a way that they know that they're going to have services that will help them to get good information.
Now, you said centers, so I might have missed this, but tell me where they're located.
So one center is in Bristol, and that's the one we're talking about.
Right.
I joined the organization when I had soon after about a year and a half, and after about 8 months later, there was a good a Catholic woman who died in the city of Philadelphia, and her dying wish was that with her estate, she would be able to fund the opening of a center that would be very much like ours.
I'm getting goosebumps just listening to that.
Amen, amen. It's a beautiful story of a woman who, Rita Pellegrino of Philadelphia, who left her money to the pro-life union. Once again, the pro-life union was that force that was able to discern where should this go, how should we do this. Mm. When they finally received the money, they had been praying like the Stantons, right? Pat Stanton and John Stanton had been praying outside of Planned Parenthood for so many years. They got to know the doctor across the street who owned the building, going to him as a doctor. And when they received the funds, they asked him if he would be willing to rent that one of the floors in his building, and he said yes. He's a good Italian doctor, and so we definitely connected. And they came and they asked us because they felt like the ministry that we were, the mission that we had, and the fruit of the labor that we were putting out was really what was needed in the city of Philadelphia, and it really aligned with Rita Pellegrino's desire and her last dying wish. And so we got started 3 years ago there. So we do have two centers.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's the one that I'll talk about in a minute, but that's the one I got to see during the Well-Meaning Families. We'll just take a little break and just remind everyone you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. This is Deacon Rich Napoli on 1420 AM in Coatesville and 1570 AM in Doylestown, and the show is Deacon Dialogues. I'm here with my wife, Janet Napoli, and we have as our guest Marie Joseph, who is the director of the Legacy of Life Foundation. So, and we talked a little bit about the well-being of families, and let me talk a little bit about sort of why it was so moving for me. So I happen to know one of your board members, I guess, Steve Javies and Mary Ellen Javies, who are parishioners in my parish. And they mentioned that you were having a reception, which is a marvelous idea. I think that's great marketing, to you know, right down the block, a couple blocks away from the convention center, having reception every evening to just open up the center and let people see what's going on. So I went the first night just to kind of see Steve. And Steve's a buddy of mine, and just to, you know, see what he's doing.
Good buddy, yeah.
He's a very good friend.
Beautiful people, wonderful people.
And
he's in the diaconate program as well.
And he's in the diaconate program.
And Mary Ellen is the president of the center.
Is she the president?
Yes, she is.
I didn't know. I wasn't quite sure what her role is. But, yeah, it bears her mark for sure. I mean, going in there, you know, you have two floors. One is the Legacy of Life floor, and one is the actual community center, and which is very nicely named, Community Center for Women or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So you have no idea what's going on there. I don't know where to start because they're both images were so vivid. So the tour of the space of the actual community center was eye-opening because it was such a soothing space to walk into. I could just imagine. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, but you know, a woman walking in and with the weight of the world on her shoulders and facing a very tough decision. And walking into this space that's just soothing from the moment you walk in.
Mm.
The colors, the furniture, and most importantly, the staff are just calm, young women.
Like a mental spa treatment there.
That is exactly
what the mission is.
It's a break from, because you come off the streets of Philly and it's, you know, hustle bustle. And you walk into this place and it's like a little sanctuary, just a peaceful sanctuary. And the mood is just one of calming. And then, you know, they kind of walked us through the sort of, you know, how you guide the women, because they kind of, you know, I got to get this done. And can you do abortions? And, well, let's check you out first. Let's give you a pregnancy test. And then maybe do an ultrasound. If not that time, then the next time. But there's a very predictable pattern of how you kind of guide a woman, giving her a chance to breathe, giving her a chance to get her bearings and think, you know, in a moment of clarity as opposed to, you know, the pressures that she's feeling maybe from her boyfriend or husband or her family to not do this, to not have the baby, and just to give her a chance to catch her breath. And so all that, and then you sort of get to the back room, and then there's like the coup de grace there was it's all the baby supplies, you know. So finally, if you convince them to have the baby, well, now it doesn't stop there, and now there's support to, and we'll talk more
ongoing
about your STAR
support,
program
yes.
there, but support for having the baby and then for the 3 years after the baby. So it's just a beautiful experience to see all that, very moving. But I have to tell you, even more moving was when you go down a floor, and that's where the reception was, because that's like your administrative facility.
Mm-hmm.
They have wine and cheese there, and people are chatting, and then Steve kind of says, come here, come down, let me show you something. And he takes me to this little chapel, which is a beautiful little chapel, with statues of Jesus there, Sacred Heart, and Mary, and a cross, and candles burning, very solemn little chapel with glass windows at the back of the, mm-hmm. of looking out on the street. And what do you see when you look out across the street? Just one floor down, Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood.
And to see, and I have a picture of that. I think I put it up on my Facebook account. Go to, you know, Deacon Rich Napoli, and you'll see it. A picture of the juxtaposition of Jesus and the cross right there, and the words Planned Parenthood right through the window. Very
like a constant
powerful.
Prayer.
Very powerful. Just
going
to see,
out,
the,
yeah.
to know those prayers are flowing, spilling out over the street and going across to that terrible place.
And that's really what it's all about.
And
it's
that,
all about
and
prayer.
To know that, you know, it's sort of a reminder of the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of our faith to create ministries like this, powerful ministries like this that are saving hundreds and hundreds of lives. I mean, your total is, you know, what I forget what numbers you want to quote, but it's a lot, hundreds
right.
and hundreds.
Close to 1,000.
Close to 1,000 women have chosen life because of the work that you do there. So it's just, it was very moving for me. And then I couldn't keep it in bottled in. So I came back the next night and brought my newfound buddies from Catholic Answers that I bumped into during the conference. We kind of hung out the whole week. And I took them there. And they were similarly moved. They just couldn't believe how beautiful this ministry was, how effective it was, how and the chapel just blew everybody away. So, you know, of all the memories I have of that week, you know, and believe me, standing by the Pope is pretty cool, holding the chalice and supporting him. It still doesn't compare to the sight of that chapel and the power of the ministry that you're doing.
And what that says to me is that prayer must be very central to the work that you do there, Maria Joseph. Is that true?
It absolutely is. And, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And so we position ourselves in the heart of where the sin is taking place so that we can be we can let Christ flow through us and the Holy Spirit and the graces flow. And they flow. And as you were saying, the contrast that you were painting for us is exactly what the charism is, what the mission is that we would present and put forth what should a real woman center be like? It should be really, if it's fully woman, it's fully a life center. And a life center is beautiful and it's feminine and it is spa treatment. It's every woman is welcomed and treated and catered to, and there's nice music playing and we're meeting her needs. Because, you know, when a woman's faced with an unplanned pregnancy, she is facing many emotions that she may have never experienced before. Very overwhelming feelings. And what we have learned from the research is that the left brain shuts down when you're in crisis and stress, and you're left with the right brain, which is fully running with many emotions. And so, exactly. And so we try to do what we call CPR on the brain and help someone who doesn't want to think, because quite often they say, I don't want to think.
I don't want to think.
If I think too much, I won't go forward with an abortion. And we will always answer with a question, never with a statement. But we'll say, you know, do you like making choices? Do you think the choice is going to be good for you if you choose something that you don't want to think about? You know, and we try to paint these pictures. But right away, she feels peace. She feels the rush that she's in, the overwhelmed feeling of not wanting anybody to know, the shame she might be feeling, the fear that she's feeling is met with love and mercy. And that gives her the ability to feel a little bit calmer and to start letting the reasoning juices flowing. And so she's met, and she's treated with one-on-one attention. We know from what the girls tell us is that the other experience they've had in the past has been where they're treated as a number, and maybe they haven't been treated kindly, and it's gray and black versus these beautiful colors, you know. And so they definitely feel special. They feel valued, and that allows her to start thinking about the value that she brings to the decision. And so really what it is helping somebody to realize that they should be thinking about this and that they have a choice.
Feel they have no choice. Their hands are tied.
Exactly. What they say, what we hear over and over again, is why do you feel like abortion is the solution? And she will say, because I have no choice. The man will say, because we have no choice. And so our mission is to give them choice. And when somebody is totally free, they are free to make the one right choice, which is life. And that's what takes place over and over again. It's a series of sessions. And as you pointed out, our staff, it is really people that are helping people. It's people that are saving people. And so the staff are beautiful people filled with the Spirit of God who really just love that person where they're at. And we lead with love and mercy and no judgment and not with morality. And we really do, as Mother Teresa did, is empty ourselves. We have to empty ourselves of spiritualities, that we empty ourselves of our own opinions, our own judgments, so that we could be fully present for that person. So that whatever they say, no matter how horrifying it might sound, we allow it to be said. We allow her to meet truth. You know, like justice and peace will kiss and truth will meet and kiss. You know, that psalm that's so beautiful.
Right.
And that's what we feel like happens, that when a woman is really allowed and a man to say how they truly feel on the inside, then they can start processing what they just said. They can realize how they really feel. And sometimes it's like peeling an onion. You know, they come in saying it's the money, it's the house that I don't have. What it really comes down to is, you know, I just don't want to have a child right now. And so when they finally hear that, how it sounds, and they're able to then be met with the truth about abortion, right? Some of the real physical and emotional and psychological side effects. And they start thinking, you know, is that something that would be better for me? And we really do approach every woman and say, our mission for you is that we love you and that we want you to be happy in body, mind, spirit. Let's mm-hmm. go over the options here and see which one is going to really leave you happy mm-hmm. and healthy for the rest of your life. And with that said, you know, we do present her with adoption and parenting.
Adoption. That's what I was thinking. There's more than just, all right, you might keep this child, and then there's that ongoing support. But there's also the very real option of adoption, which right. is a beautiful gift.
So we found that, you know, even though we are so sure that what a beautiful gift, and we've seen adoption because we do provide adoption as an option. And
what would you say percentage-wise, how many women end up?
I would say, I mean, think about this, the hundreds and hundreds of women that have chosen life, and I think we've done about 8 or 9 adoptions,
okay.
10 adoptions. So
wow.
what I was going to shed some light on today,
wow.
yes, and it's something to keep praying about,
yeah.
and it's something to keep trying to present in a more beautiful way because one thing we know is that our society today, our generation, they have a very negative opinion of adoption quite often because of their past experiences of foster care.
Sure.
And so maybe some bad situations. And they see it, again, it's just the state of the mind today is that they believe that it's something cruel to do to a child.
Mm.
And they haven't really processed or they don't have full understanding that abortion would be something cruel because they really believe that they're coming in before
from their own experience.
They're coming in. They feel like abortion is something that they're coming in ahead of time and making a decision before a life has been
right.
created. And so one of the things we do try to help people understand is that a life has already been created. And
right.
there's nothing better than the ultrasound
yes.
that thank God for the Knights of Columbus and good Catholics who help raise money for the 2 ultrasounds that we have at our centers,
yeah.
which really a picture is worth a
thousand
words.
Right? Yeah.
And so,
especially to the men, I would believe.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
There,
so,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, right. So just to see that that really is a baby. And sometimes it's confirming the fact that, no, I'm not 5 weeks. I'm really 13, 14, 15, 16 weeks. And that alone sometimes will help somebody to realize, wow, this really already is a life. And
yeah.
so we definitely help point out the development of the child. And, you know, in the state of Pennsylvania, the law really is that no one is to have an abortion unless they fully consent. So even just from a legal standpoint, the law is intended to protect a woman, and she is supposed to have an abortion information session whereby she receives the truth about abortion, and she then also is to receive adoption and parenting as options and to be presented with the resources that go along with adoption and parenting. We know that that is not happening.
I was going to say, is that happening at Planned Parenthood?
We know it's not happening, and we have testimonies to that not happening. And so we believe, number one, would be that the mission is that we are for women's rights. We are for to give a woman and a man the right to the correct information so that they can make an informed decision. And that is what's taking place, and it's very beneficial. And people do feel that that's a huge value that we're giving.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, and it's so funny, the quote-unquote pro-choice movement. There's no, they don't give the women a choice, you know, and then women say, I have no choice. You're effectively the real pro-choice, you know, because you give them choices.
Amen.
You show them what the choices are
what percentage,
and give them the education.
What percentage of men would you say end up either coming on the first visit or a follow-up to your clinic?
It's probably about a third,
a third,
I want to say.
Okay.
There's a really good amount of men, and I would say that the men are either calling and leading the process,
right.
or they're coming along. They're coming along. And one of the biggest things that we think is a huge value of what we do is that we encourage the men to come. We encourage them to come to the ultrasound. And we let men know that they have rights. Because most men are following or believing the lie that it's the woman's body and it's her choice. So a man, the one thing about men.
I hear that all the time
right.
with men.
And the
men. I can't make a decision because I'm not a woman. This is your child.
And what's really important is that the men have, and this is true, the men have more of a left brain, a stronger left brain than the women. So when there's a crisis, the men are the ones who can still think rationally and logically.
Sorry,
and so quite often we're able to speak to the man. He doesn't want to speak up, and we give him the freedom in the session to speak up and say, what do you really want? Because we also know that the studies show that the side effects, not the physical ones, but the emotional ones and the psychological ones, the men suffer. We have men
absolutely.
Who did not want the abortion, who are in such state of depression they cannot get out of bed in the morning. And these are strong, burly men, you know,
yes.
construction workers
yeah, yeah, yeah.
who cannot get out of bed because they're so depressed and they have so much anxiety. So we let a man know that he has a right to speak up, and we have seen, I would say, about 90% of the time when a man speaks up and says, this is wrong, and I want to have this child, and I love you also helps. Yeah. I love you, and I'll be
well,
there for you.
I certainly will support you.
And I
want to
support you in this. The woman yeah. who was so abortion-minded completely turns around and says yes to life. And so the men have a huge role to play. When the man is pushing the abortion, even if a woman knows it's wrong and doesn't want to have the abortion, she will have it. That's the power of the man's voice makes it very strong, mm-hmm. a hard, difficult mm-hmm. decision for her not to have it.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Well, just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown and WCLJ 1420 in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet, and on the show, Deacon Dialogues. And today, we've talked a little bit about the World Meeting of Families and the papal visit, but particularly about the events there of that led me to this Legacy of Life Foundation. We have with us the director there, Marie Joseph, who's telling us about the wonderful ministry that and the many lives saved through the work there. Maybe you can tell us now a little bit, Marie, about some examples, you know, some real-world examples, because it always helps to make it personal to of a woman or two that have gone through and what their experiences have been.
Positive and negative. I mean, like whether they accepted their baby or not.
Sure. So there was a girl named Chelsea, and I love this story because it really shows, again, what we're talking about, the influence of the man. This girl, Chelsea, was 15 years old. Mm. She was in high school. She was hanging around with the wrong crowd. And again, there's always more. Abortion is kind of that the final thing
right.
to many other problems. And so she was hanging around. She was estranged from her mother. She was living with her father, and he was remarried. He actually had just married and was pregnant. They were already pregnant, as her stepmother was. And so here she is feeling abandoned by her family in a way. Her father didn't have a lot of attention for her, estranged from her mother, and she was hanging around with the wrong crowd, and she found herself pregnant. She went online and she found us, and she came into the center, and she says it's because she felt like we would be someone who would talk to her about abortion. She said in her reaching out, there weren't a lot of people who would actually sit down, and this was a smart girl who just wasn't doing great in school, but she definitely came in, and she was smart enough to say, you know, maybe I would consider, after listening to abortion, I'll consider adoption. Mm-hmm. But she was really afraid of her father. And she said, and one thing we do is we always give people homework before they come back. And we really encouraged her to tell her father. Mm. We always encourage them to tell everyone in their family who they're not
sure.
telling, to give people a chance, because she's afraid he's going to kill me.
Right.
And
you'd be surprised.
He's going
they
to
might
kick
just
me
step
out.
Up. Yeah.
Right. He's going to kick me out. And so that's what you believe is going to happen.
Right.
That's not what you know is the truth. So let's deal with the truth. And we give people that strength by saying, bring him in. Bring him in and let's all sit down together. Mm-hmm. And the girl, Chelsea, felt very very good about that. So we brought her father in. And again, here's this big, strong man. And he wanted to hear all the information. He was going to let her make her choice. Mm-hmm. But we went through the information. And this big man, I'll never forget it, just started crying, tears mm-hmm. in his eyes. Because when he heard what abortion would be like for his daughter, he was immediately crying. And he said, he turned to her. And he said, Chelsea, you know what? I'm your father, and I love you, and you're a beautiful girl. And you know what? That's my grandchild.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have this baby together, and we're going to raise it
wow.
with your steps, you know, brother or sister, and we're going to be a big family, and we're going to be a happy family.
Wow.
And see, this is the blessing that comes out of such a critical crisis moment.
Amen. And just to be there to watch this father proclaim his love for his daughter. And they were a broken family. Mm. And you know what? Chelsea turned her life around. She, at such a young age, with the strength of that family and the strength of our women's center, really what happened for Chelsea is that she had a little baby girl and she ended up reuniting with her mother.
Oh, wow.
She ended up moving in with her mother. They became very close. She's a straight A student.
Wow.
The public school she was in started, the health teacher ended up lifting her up as an example. She was witnessing to young people because she became a straight-A student. She stopped hanging around with the friends that were trouble. She got herself a part-time job. And this girl,
she focused.
Right.
Yeah.
And now she's married and she's having another child.
Oh, God bless her.
And it's a beautiful story. And so just to see that, to be there. We have another family who I'll never forget this. And this was heartbreaking because this was a Catholic family that was also going through some real struggles with, a couple of addictions and some death in the family that caused depression and anxiety. And this was a family already of three children, and it was going to be their fourth. And I remember being on the phone and trying to talk to them, and they were really trying, but they just couldn't find the strength to go through with parenting, and they ended up choosing abortion, which almost destroyed them. Mm. And, you know, the one thing that we do, again, all love and mercy, the doors are always you're always welcome to come back. You're always welcome to choose life, even to the last second that you're on that operating table. Mm. And so many women do jump off the table because they know that they can come back to us and we will help them. This family was not strong enough, but it was all because they were fearful that the woman who already was suffering from anxiety, depression, would go further into depression if she had another child. Unfortunately, she went into further depression with the abortion. Mm-hmm. But she then was pregnant again about 6 months to a year later, and they both felt very terrible about what happened, but they felt very comforted to know that they could come back to us and that we would love them. And they were so happy. They said, we're not doing that again. Oh, we want to keep this baby. And when we say yes to somebody, it reminds me of, we really don't know. Somebody asked me this yesterday. Well, how much does it cost to save a family and to help a family? Because this family needed housing and they needed other things as well. And we don't know how much it's going to cost. It could cost $50. It could cost $3,000. Yeah, it could cost $10,000.
Sure.
But our yes to life is very much like the Blessed Mother is. Just say yes, and God always provides.
Yeah,
and we
amen.
See miracles. We
amen.
See miracles of the providence of God when someone does the right thing and the good thing, which is life.
And, you know, you see them with that choice where, you know, the world is telling them by getting rid of the baby, it's going to make your life better. And in both those examples, it's actually having the baby. Like that one girl, Chelsea, turned her whole life around. If she went with the abortion, she might have stayed stuck with those bad kids in the neighborhood and never had that turnaround.
She never would have understood maybe the love
and
her father,
for her father.
Right.
Father.
And the sacrifice he was willing to make.
Exactly. And I'd love to give you one other example of a man named Craig who, with his
he wasn't
girlfriend,
pregnant, was he?
No, but you remind me of him because when we were in the session and he was a Christian, and sometimes we have Catholics in there who are saying, you know what, I never would have, I've always been pro-life. Now I'm in this situation and there's no way I can have this baby. Mm. It's almost like the crisis really robs you of a lot of your beliefs, and it really challenges you. But this gentleman was a Christian, and I remember being in the session, and, you know, he said, I said, you know what, Craig, because they were really struggling, and I said, you know, do you want God to bless you? Do you want God to bless you? And he said, yeah, I want the blessing of God. I said, great. Well, then you can't kill the blessing. You know, and that kind of stuck with him. But what he told me 9 months later was, because they were going to go forward with abortion, and when they got to the abortion clinic, they were faced with the contrast to what they had received with us. With us, we had volunteers that were taking care of the little boy, and they had a very loving environment to see their ultrasound and everything. When they got there, he was told he couldn't go with the girlfriend, and he couldn't go with the little boy. They had to leave, and it was a different environment.
Very clinical.
And they walked away. They didn't have the abortion that day because of that. And they came back to us. But what he said to me was, you know what, Marie? He said, everyone in my life, and this is a strong man, you know, a strong man with a good job. He said, you know, everyone in my life, all the men at work, all the men in my family and the women, they said, you know what? You, not only should you not have that child, not only should you have the abortion, but you will be irresponsible if you do have that child, if you don't have the abortion.
Right.
And he said, everybody in life, you were the only people that were encouraging us and telling us that this was the right thing to do, was to keep the baby. And they had this beautiful baby girl, and they were so happy. And I said, let me ask you something. What are all those people saying now? And he said, they love this baby. They think this baby's the most beautiful thing. Right. And all the reasons why they wanted to have the abortion, they were afraid of the woman's health. She could die, you know, delivering. He had terrible anxiety that she could die. It was the little boy was not, it was a behavior problem. And then I said, how did all those things play out? And he said, well, you know what? It was the best pregnancy she ever had. Right. I didn't have any anxiety. And little Noah, the little boy, he's a big brother now.
Yes.
And so he is not a behavior problem anymore.
Right.
And so what if we would have...
Siblings can cure a lot of issues with sharing
and
patience.
Right. Yep. So what if we would not have had this little girl? This girl would not be alive today if we would have ended her life. And so we see these miracles over and over again, and it's a blessing to be there. It's a blessing to just stand in the gap for these families that need to be strengthened.
Yep. It's like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You know, you don't realize the impact a single life can have on the world until it's not there. And so it's a reminder to us all that, you know, as difficult as those choices may seem, that choosing life, it really has so many blessings. God will bless that baby and the life, all the lives around that baby.
And what we're finding, exactly. And what we're finding is that when you stop that one abortion and you're able to work with somebody who then they convert in their thinking, then what you've really done is you've stopped the next four abortions that she might have had, because we're seeing that most 75% of women who've had abortions have had multiple abortions.
Yes.
So that's the beauty of what God's really
doing. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
I'm sure, Marie, that people listening are saying that this is a valuable, valuable ministry that you're doing and that they would like to be part of it in some way. You know, maybe they're not able to donate time, but certainly products, money, maybe they have a certain talent they could share. Maybe you could give us some information, website, or something that could help maybe feed that desire that they're feeling right now.
Absolutely. And I think of Jesus when he said prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And so I'll start with prayer. So just so everyone's aware, you know, we don't do any of this without the Lord and without the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. And so we know that after every woman leaves, we have a prayer ministry and we send a prayer request. And so anybody who would like to receive that daily, it gives you, we give the woman a name, you know, what I call the stage name, you know, so that we protect her confidentiality.
But
you get a name and you get a situation, and the girl came today and here's why she thinks that abortion's her only choice. And so you can pray for these women, and every day you would get an email at the end of the day of all the women that came through. And then when the woman chooses life, then we send out what we call the praise report, because it's only fitting that God should get all the glory for every single life saved. And so we have something called the praise report. And so if you want to be on that prayer ministry list, go to legacyoflifefoundation.org and send us an email, and we'll put you on that. And then if you want to receive the praise report, which comes out in the emails, but we also take a collection of those every quarter, and we have this beautiful four-color, a newsletter that we send out, and we love to add people to that mailing list. And so prayer, we pray every day at the centers, the counselors pray. And so prayer is number one. Number two would be, I'll say fasting, but let's call it sacrifice, you know? So maybe you would sacrifice your time. And as you said, not everybody has time, but we need, our phones are answered 24/7. We're always looking for hotline operators on the weekends and in the evenings. And we train people to do this. And it's a great ministry for people who can't.
You can do that from your home, probably.
You can do it from your home. And so there's a lot of opportunity there, and there's a big need for that. In addition, we have this great ongoing program. After a woman chooses life, she goes on the journey with us, called the STAR program. And it's a series of beautiful experiences that these women have, where volunteers come and share their talents. And it's everything from how to decorate on a dime, you know, to 1 month is food. And we're always looking for people to help with recipes and help teach the women arts and crafts and all these great skills and gifts and experiences that we share with the women, so that they can really be fully woman and fully confident in their femininity. So we work with them. We have a celebration supper for last Friday of every month, where volunteers cook a meal, bring it, and serve it. And we all sit around a big table, and we're family for these women, and we create community with these women. And so we're always looking for people who want to volunteer. And you can go to the website as well, legacyoflifefoundation.org. And the last thing is almsgiving. And, you know, the way that we really, the way we raise funds is, again, relying on the providence of God. We pray every Monday for all of the Legacy of Life donors and people who are part of us. But we really want to attack, we want somebody to be connected to this work, that God would move in their heart and then they would give a gift. So we don't spend a lot of time doing big fundraisers. We do a couple of different things. We do, and we do have someone can give right online, and they can give a gift from the heart, whatever they feel like they could give. Mm. And then that will go directly to making sure that we do have staff there to meet these women, and also that we could help take care of these women. So when we say yes to a woman, we know that we're going to be able to take care of her. We take care of her through this program, through sometimes she needs counseling for different issues. Sometimes she needs to find a job. She needs to keep going to school. She needs a new place to live. She needs food. She needs clothing. She needs all of that for her baby.
Wow.
And so we do all of that for everyone who needs it. And so every gift that someone gives, you know, last year we had to raise $360,000, and we ended up saving and helping, you know, more women than we had planned. And we said, how are we going to do this? And by the providence of God, in the fourth quarter, we raised $400,000.
Nice.
And this year, wow, the goal is $500,000, and we've raised $300,000 already. And again, no government funding. It's just all people,
right,
who hear the story and then give from their heart. And so so we still have $200,000 to raise, and we believe in God that will be provided for, because we're gonna go over 300 women this year. And
wow,
so we need to do that. People can give online at legacyoflifefoundation.org. And we have a very generous donor right now who is kicking off a matching gift program. And anybody,
wow,
who gives, who marches to their computer, marches for life to the computer, and goes on legacyoflifefoundation.org and gives now, that gift, first of all, will be matched up to $50,000 this donor is going to match.
Wow.
But also,
that's $100,000 towards your budget there.
Exactly.
Wow. That's outstanding.
Mm-hmm. And then every gift that's given online, we will pay no finance fees at all. 100% of your gift online is going to go directly to helping save these women and children. And that's thanks to the Charitable Exchange, TCE, the Charitable Exchange Organization, that is doing that for us on our website.
And no gift is too small, right?
No gift is too small. And, you know, I've gone on the radio before, and in the past, somebody, I said, you know what, if you really want to be a part of this work and connect yourself, is to tithe into it, is you can do a monthly gift for
$25.
You can do a monthly gift, yeah, and
nice,
you can do it online, and all of that.
Nice.
There'll be no finance fees, and all of it will be matched. So you could start today, and you can decide on a monthly gift, and you can change it whenever you want. And the last two things I wanted to say was that we also have an adoptive family program. And the adoptive family program, we chose 150 families this year that need help, and we have frames and pictures of these families, and we have created a year program where somebody can adopt a family, give a gift, and then hear back from us all year how this family is doing. And if you want information on that, again, go to the website, legacyoflifefoundation.org, and just send an email that you're interested in that program, because we have a showroom with all those pictures.
Oh, wow.
And then just lastly is that we have tours at our center, and and they're very exciting. And if nothing else, they are the greatest way to have an experience of life at our center. And we have a huge tour coming up on November 19th.
Mm.
We are going to open both centers. Usually once a month we open the Philadelphia Center, and this is all on our website, you know, and then the Bristol Center, and every month we alternate. But this coming month, because we have such a huge demand for this, we're going to open both centers at the same time.
Wow.
I'm going to bi-locate. and November, right, November 19th at 6 o'clock to 7:30 in the Philadelphia Center and the Bristol Center. So if you're interested in the tours, you can go online. And in addition, you know, again, this is a grassroots effort. It's people helping people. So we're always looking for people to, we had one last night where somebody opens their house, and they have, you know, instead of having like, you know, a home party for something you're selling.
Sure.
Sell life for the night. And you sell life and you open up your home and you invite your friends and family. Mm. We come, we show a video, we do a talk, we give them, we explain what our center's about, and you get to evangelize your friends. Somebody did it last night. Evangelize your friends. Mm. They didn't even know. They invited the neighbors. They said, do you think they're pro-life? They said, I don't know. And I said, okay, we can do it.
I think for a lot of people, whether you're pro-life or not, who doesn't want to help a family out?
Amen. I can't tell you, these people had never heard anything like this.
I know.
And this couple, the Schnells, God bless them, they felt from St. Andrews in Newtown.
Right.
I just want to do a shout out and thank them. But they invited people they work with. They invited people. What a courageous thing to do. They invited people in the neighborhood. And as I said, you know, do you think they're pro-life? She said, I don't know. I said, okay, let's do it. And everyone, no one could deny that this is a valuable human justice, social justice, beautiful thing to do for society and the community. Because when these women choose life, not only do they choose life, but we work with them to change their lives. And when families change, the community changes. And these women say, I don't know how, I could never give back what I received. I could never give back. This child is alive. Every day I wake up in the morning and I look at this baby and I say, if it had not been for this women's center and the people that are backing this thing up that it was here, my child would not be alive. You went to the crib in the morning every morning and picked up your baby, said, I love you.
Yeah.
They say, thank God you're alive. Can you imagine every single morning? They say, I can never repay you, but what I can do is I could be a good parent and I could raise a great child and I could give back to the community by sending this child out to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Marie Joseph, your joy and passion in the work that you do is so evident.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think your parents named you beautifully. Marie Joseph, is there a better name for your position?
Praise the Lord.
There is, and there are no coincidences. I think right from the beginning, God had this plan for you, and your yes is blessing
right
so many.
Spot
thank you for your yes.
Thank you.
And thank you for helping us to say our yes in whatever way possible we can. Let's say yes today to the work that Marie Joseph is doing by going to legacyoflife.com. Is that
Legacy
it?
Of Life Foundation. Legacyoflifefoundation.org.
.org. Okay, and make a donation today.
Are you going to be at the pro-life dinner?
Absolutely,
the
yes.
So they can see you
there.
I'll
be at the pro-life dinner. I would love for people to come and say hello. I'm going to be wearing an orange scarf because that's our color. So you can look for me. I'd love to see you. It's a great day.
November 23rd.
November 23rd. Sunday,
the last Sunday
before Thanksgiving. And we're so grateful to the Pro-Life Union, but for what they were able to, always be the starters, the self-starters.
Yeah.
And so praise God for this beautiful community in this Bucks County and Philadelphia, the surrounding counties, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Thank God that we have so many.
The baby bottles, those
another thing that if you have a parish and you're not doing the baby bottle program, that's another beautiful, I want to shout out to Queen of the Universe and so many other parishes that have been doing baby bottles. But it is a beautiful way. We come and we speak at the end of Mass, and it's a beautiful way, again, to evangelize. We have so many conversations that take place after Mass in the vestibule of women and men who have been through abortions and who feel judged sitting in the pews. But when they hear this work, they come back and they say, I had an abortion, and usually I can't stand to hear something like this. But I'm so happy that a Catholic church is supporting this kind of work and being there for women and men. And so we're able to say, because we also do, we also lead people to healing after abortion. We work very closely with, I'm a Rachel's Vineyard groupie, and those are healing retreats after abortion. And we lead a lot of people. We lead our women to that ministry of healing, but we also start leading them right in the back of the church. Mm. And what a great way to unite and really try to turn this thing around, where Catholics are leading with love is our mission.
If there's somebody who's not computer literate but really wants to make a donation, is there a phone number we could give out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is 215-788-4051. That's 215-788-4051, the Legacy of Life Foundation. .org.
All right. Well, thank you, Marie Joseph from the Legacy of Life Foundation. Thank you for being our guest today. As Jan said, your passion is evident, and it's such a worthy cause. I invite you all our listeners, to take the tour on November 19th, you said?
Yes, November 19th. And again, thank you, Deacon, for coming.
It was
Deacon
a Rich, blessing.
Thank you, Janet. But thank you for coming to our tour. You really blessed all of us. And
I
we
felt
need
blessed.
Encouragement, you know, so we really want you to come out and praise God for that night when we celebrate life at the centers.
Very good. God bless you all. And thank you all for joining us. We'll talk to you next month.
Have a blessed week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.